Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Schwartz.
And we're happy you're with us here this evening, this April the 19th, 2026. It was my fault we weren't here last week. My wife and I went out of town, and I did not get back in time to be able to get into the studio and do this properly. So our friend and brother Ray Powers put us on the air. I think he ran a rerun from last year. That's what he told me he was going to do.
How long has he been putting up with us?
Ever since 2013.
Oh, wow.
Can you believe that? It's hard. 13 years, almost 14 years. And, you know, there was a period of time there where I ended up in the hospital, so we didn't do programs for a while.
Yeah.
And he just kept us on the air all that time. He was patient, and I said, Ray, I'm sorry. He said, don't worry about it. I got your back. And
that's wonderful. Praise God.
It really is. And we really appreciate all that he does for us and really keeping this network on the air. Those of you who tune in and listen, whether it's to us or somebody else, it's a lot of work maintaining a network like this. And people think it's just simple. You know, it's just point and click. Now, he has to make a schedule. He has to talk to people. He has to keep people in that lineup all of the time. And we're really grateful that we can just have this time, this hour, every Sunday at 7 p.m. to open God's Word and just read from it and learn from it. It's a true blessing. It really is.
You know, I don't know if I should talk about this, but I'm going to. You know, we have had the opportunity to help somebody else in ministry. And this person is going on TV in the country
right.
that he lives in, and he's also going to be broadcasting that same on FM radio. So it's important to use what God has given us, this technology that God has given us.
Absolutely. And this is part of, we talked about it 2 weeks ago, the importance of preaching the gospel, getting the word out.
Yeah.
Because it's our understanding from the Bible that Jesus is coming sometime soon.
Yes.
And again, Ed, we say it all of the time, even if he doesn't come in our lifetime, it's important that we get our relationship with him.
When we take our last breath, there's no other change that can occur.
That's it. So the change needs to occur today.
Yeah.
Now is the day of salvation.
Right.
And we can't stress that enough. So I do want to say this. If you need a Bible or you want a copy of a Bible, please contact us. We will try to get a Bible to you as long as it's legal in the place where you live. We'll try to make that happen.
And these are really, really nice Bibles.
They are. They are. We were blessed with a really good deal on cases of Bibles, King James and New King James. They're large or giant print.
Yeah.
So even old people can read them that their eyes are fading.
Yep.
Right, Ed?
Yes, that's right.
I'm just teasing. But tell us a little bit about what else we do here in this.
Well, again, we're just a small little ministry in Virginia, in the Shenandoah Valley, 1743 West Beverly Street.
Mm-hmm.
Stop by and see us, y'all. And we have just a simple Bible study / prayer time on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., available via Zoom. And our church service is at... on the Sabbath, seventh day of the week, the Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and we have a Bible study Sabbath school at 9:30, which is live streamed and available via Zoom, and our worship hours at 11, which is live streamed.
Yeah,
and you know there are several people, even though we're a very small group, that have their own individual ministries that they do.
Absolutely, yeah,
online,
and we encourage that. Some of them, one of the brothers that come here, and you, Ed, too, you have a YouTube channel where you do Bible topics and little lectures and sermons. I love some of the intros where you're up on the Blue Ridge Parkway here in Virginia,
yeah.
And it's really nice. And then our brother Stacy has 15-minute videos.
You got a minute?
Yeah.
He's got 60-second videos,
yeah, 60
too. That's really taken off.
It has really done well, and he packs a lot of information. It's just he takes you right to the Bible. He asks a question, and he gives you the Bible answer.
Caleb is starting a YouTube channel.
Oh, nice. I didn't realize that. So this is exciting, and we want to encourage you, if you have a Bible message, share it with people. Get out of that comfort zone. And it's difficult at first, but after a while, when you have somebody respond, it's exciting. It really is. And Ed, if somebody wants to send you an email, how do they do that?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
You can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. And if you can't remember our names, send us an email at office@prophecyhope.com. And we want to tell you a little bit, the website also, you can find these radio programs archived there. They're usually a few weeks behind because we want to give people a chance to, when it streams for the first time on Sunday nights, throughout that week, it will run periodically. Ray puts them on at different times of the week. And you can check out that schedule on newvisionsradio.com. And he has links there to the different people and to our ministry. We have to upgrade that page. I just realized it the other day when I was goofing around. And we have to take a new picture of you, Ed.
No, an old picture.
Oh, the picture that's up there is I see what you're saying. An old picture. I got you. A new old picture of Ed. And we all change, I tell you. But I think you look the same to me. You haven't changed.
I don't feel the same, so.
Yeah, well, but we're going to pick up today in Matthew chapter 11. Is there any other business we need to take care of before we pray?
The series coming up in
the Bible series.
September.
Yeah, September. I think it's going to be the first week of September. We haven't yet. It's only going to be a few nights, a few lectures, and we still haven't figured out exactly what we're going to do. But we're going to ask you folks to pray about that, to keep us in prayer for that, and that we can reach people and know exactly what to do. Because the reason why it's taken us longer this time is because the world is changing so much and so fast, and even people's attention span. The being bombarded by all these different social media things, it makes our attention span very short.
Right.
So what we're trying to do is, we're trying to consolidate. We're going to try not to take much of people's time, keep it brief and to the point. And so we're still working on that at this moment.
Yeah.
So if there's nothing else, Ed, would you have a prayer for us?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're again thankful and grateful for this time we can come together to open your word, the Bible. And as we continue our study in Matthew, that we look at the life of Jesus and the things that he did and the words that he spoke and the love that he has for each one of us. Father, may you give us understanding. May it affect our hearts and minds. May we choose to follow you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that you give us wisdom and knowledge as we understand these things and to guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Matthew chapter 11, two weeks ago, is where we stopped. We were in chapter 11, and I think the last verses we read were 20 through 24.
Yes. And so this next section is like five or six verses. Some of you probably have heard these verses, mm-hmm. and we're just going to spend a little bit of time talking about it. Mark, if you could read verses 25 through 30 for us.
Sure. And I'm reading this from the New King James Bible. It says, Matthew 11, beginning in verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
You know, it's interesting that even in the world we live in today, that people look to people that are intelligent, charismatic, mm-hmm. in positions in this life, whether in education or in politics or in religion, to gain knowledge and wisdom. And yet Jesus says here that God has hidden things from the sophisticated and cunning and revealed them to babes.
Mm. Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think part of it is because, well, most of us, we don't like to change. We want to be in control of things. And, you know, you think about a baby is more like a sheep and a follower. And they're teachable. they can learn quickly. Babies learn very fast, much quicker than me and you, Ed. Think about that. When we were between the ages of 1 and 10, think about how quickly we learn language skills and drawing and writing, all these things. So I think part of that is, if we're going to be like babes, if he's going to teach it to those, it's those whose minds are ready to accept the word of God.
More teachable.
Yeah.
Not thinking they already know everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest, I don't like change.
Yeah.
And it was hard for me when I realized that I was in a church that I thought had the truth that didn't. It was hard for me to make those changes at first. And now I say, you know what? I just want to do the will of God, whatever that is. So we can become like these babes that this is talking about.
You know, to have your eyes open and be honest with yourself about what the word of God says compared to what your church says is difficult.
It is.
It's like, I can't believe this. I knew I was in the truth.
Right.
You know,
I thought I was, and you thought you were. We were sure,
even
though we were in different places.
Right.
And I think that that's where we all are. Sometimes we'll get somebody that might send us a question or ask a question, and Ed will give them an answer right from the Bible. And what happens?
They don't hear it or see it.
They almost want to stick to what they've been taught.
It's almost like they're asking for the answer that they want versus what the Bible says.
Right. And here, this is telling us that we, it says, what's it say? All things have been delivered to me by the Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, to whom the Son wills to reveal him.
So Jesus came to reveal his Father, his God, our Father and God,
amen,
to us.
Amen. Yeah. And do we want to accept that for what it actually is? Or do we want to just follow the church, follow the leader, so to speak, the charismatic speaker?
And people that tickle your ears.
Yeah. And the Bible warns us about that. Yeah. And this is why, as a ministry, we constantly tell people, look, we need to come together and study, but don't follow Mark, don't follow Ed, don't follow Prophecies of Hope. You can tune in and listen, but read these texts for yourself. Make the decision on your own. Know and understand what the verses are saying to you.
You know, I don't know much about other famous ministers and preachers on TV and other ministries, but I doubt anyone sticks to the Bible as consistently as we do.
I think that, well, there might be a reason for that too, Ed. Most ministers, and there's nothing wrong with this happening, the Bible speaks about this, most ministers are paid ministers.
Right.
Whereas you and I are not. If we teach something from the Bible, the only thing that we have to lose is whatever the world has to offer.
Right.
We're not going to be chastised or fired for preaching what the Bible says.
Well, see, the whole purpose of doing this is because I wanted to know what the Bible said.
Amen.
To find out what is truth and what is false. And that's what we're trying to do here on this program, is simply share the Bible with people, read it word by word, compare scripture to scripture. And so people have the opportunity to see for themselves what it actually says.
Amen. And this is, you mentioned right before the prayer that, you know, there's this, another ministry that's trying to do this very thing in another country.
Right.
And so this is what we're hoping you will do when you learn these things, when you learn these things about Jesus and the things that he says, take it and share it with somebody else. It's so important. So Jesus says here in verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
So I doubt that there's not anyone that's listening that does not have some kind of concern or difficulty they're going through that could fit this, that who labor and are heavy laden, have a burden on your heart and on your mind.
Absolutely. And then he says next, take my yoke. What is a yoke, Ed? What are we talking about here?
A yoke is like you think of an animal pulling a cart or a field instrument that they put a yoke around them so they can pull with.
It connects to oxen or to horses, right, or to mules,
right,
beasts of burden. And so Jesus here says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. When I think of putting on a yoke, I don't think of rest.
Right.
I think of work. But Jesus here is saying, look, I will help you carry this burden. You take my yoke, and it's not going to be like the burden that you're thinking of. It's not. It might seem like it at first, and you might get persecuted by other people. That might be part of the bearing of your cross that you're going to have to deal with. But did you have a thought?
Well, that's interesting. That's in one of my notes.
Oh, is
bearing
it?
Bearing your cross.
Okay.
But, you know, it requires faith. You have to have faith that God exists.
Mm-hmm.
You have to believe in his son, Jesus Christ, and the purpose of his salvation.
The plan that he's put in place for us.
And then believe that he is willing and able to help you right now, today.
Yes.
Whatever you're going through.
Yes. That, you know, so many times, that, and I want to bring this up again, we look at these texts and we think, well, this is Bible history. This is all in the past. This was back in Bible times. But what do we like to say here in this ministry?
It's still Bible times.
It is. How do we know that?
Because the Bible hasn't fulfilled its prophecies yet.
So here we are in Bible times reading this book that's telling us that Jesus is coming sometime. And so let's follow the direction that Jesus gives us. This is the owner's manual for us. We're still living in this particular period.
So what does verse 29 say? It's Jesus talking about himself. For I am meek and lowly in heart.
Hmm.
And he says, learn of me, and you shall find rest to your souls.
So think about what Jesus did in condescending, coming from heaven down to this earth. Think about how much humility that takes.
His whole life on this earth was of service to others.
Yes. He never said, look at me, look right at what I'm doing. Where did he point all of his attention?
Always to his Father.
Always to his Father. And he was always concerned that everyone around him recognized that the glory goes to God.
Yes.
The glory goes to his Father. And he was trying to bridge the gap between us and our Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Between us and our God. Between us and his God.
Yes.
Right? And his Father.
Yeah.
And this is part of the yoke. This is what makes that load light, is that Jesus helps us. We talk about it all the time. We just did this past week in Sabbath school. It's one of our favorite topics, about how when Jesus came, he knows this experience.
Yes.
And that's why when we take his yoke, he's walked the walk. So he knows the path. He can direct our path.
Right.
Right? And he will carry that load so that the burden's not on me or you.
Right. You know, you had mentioned something about a cross.
Mm-hmm.
In Matthew chapter 16, I want to share verses 24 through 28.
Okay.
This is going to be in the modern King James. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life shall lose it, and whoever desires to lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward each one according to his works. So, you know, Jesus is saying, first of all, if anyone desires to come after me, and in Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who you labor and are mm-hmm. heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says, whoever wants to come after me, let him deny himself.
Yeah.
And take up his cross, whatever this difficulty you have in this life, and follow me.
Yes, and he will take that burden from us. And this is what, when he says, I will give you rest, I think he's talking about more than one thing here.
Yes.
He's, first of all, I think in the context of this with a yoke, it seems like he's saying, I will help you carry the load. I will carry it with you. I'm walking with you. What did he say to his disciples before he left? He says, I'm going so that I can come again.
Right.
And he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Right.
Right? So that's part of this yoke. This is what we're talking about.
You know, in Matthew 10, we've already discovered this, but Jesus says in verse 34, do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to send peace, but a sword. He came to have people make a choice.
Yes.
Choosing to follow God or essentially following the world, which is the devil's world, you know, Satan's world, following and, Satan.
And it's going to be much more appealing to most people to not follow Christ, at least until you follow Christ. You know, once you get a taste of this, once you've put that yoke on, once you've accepted the blood of Jesus Christ, once you've made that relationship, it's you look back and you say, how did I not want this?
You know, in verse 37 of Matthew 10, he says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Mm. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life shall lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake shall find it.
So that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Once I lay down the things of this world and I follow Jesus, my life is so much better today than it was before. Now, I was never one that really got into the world as some people do, mm-hmm. but there were things that I did not want to give up. There were things that I wanted to hang on to. And there, I was worried, too, about family. What's my family going to think? What are my right. friends going to think? What about my workmates, the people that I work with? How's yeah. this going to affect that dynamic? But now I look back and I think how silly I was to have those concerns. And this is also part of the rest that Jesus gives us. I can rest at night knowing that my relationship with him is good, and I don't worry about those things of the world anymore. So this rest goes in many different directions, doesn't it?
Sure. You know, one of the first things that God did in creating the world was to enjoy what he created.
Yes. In fact, let's look at that, Ed, if you don't mind. In Genesis chapter 1, when we know that he created the world in 6 days, and then it says at the end of, at chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, it says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished.
Where are you at?
I'm in Genesis chapter 2.
What verse?
Verse 1.
Okay.
That was verse 1, sorry. Thanks for asking me. So here's verse 2, Genesis 2, 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. So that tells us that he took time to stop and reflect. This word that's used here means that it's almost like when you read the definition, I always liken it to maybe you've done a task at home. Maybe you've finished your yard. Maybe you just mowed it or mulched your flower beds, and you stand back and you look at it.
Boy, that looks good.
Yeah, and sometimes you might even look and just be grateful and say, wow, this is beautiful. Look at the work that I've accomplished. And the glory goes to God.
Yes,
because we're made in his image. But it says here that he rested. It indicates that he sighed, almost like a sigh of
satisfaction.
Wow, yeah, this is nice. Yeah. And then it says in verse 3, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So this is a beautiful text. Jesus says we'll find rest for our souls if we walk with him, mm-hmm. if we bear our cross, right? And also, God here, when he finished creation, he rested. So finding Christ is really, it's a satisfactory thing. It's,
yes.
It's that sigh of, wow, this is amazing.
Relief.
Relief, yeah. And so when I think about this, I don't know that a lot of people look at these texts and think about the Sabbath, but finding rest for your souls, who today doesn't need rest from the world, rest from their work, rest from school, whatever it is?
So if we go to Exodus chapter 20.
Okay.
And those who may not know, this is part of the Ten Commandments, mm-hmm. Exodus 20. And if we start with the fourth commandment, let me just read 8 through 11. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Jehovah your God. You shall not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger within your gates. For in 6 days Jehovah made the heavens and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it."
Hmm.
You know, this is just a acknowledging that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth.
Yes, it is.
The rightful authority in our life, because mm-hmm. He created us and everything around us. He gives us the breath we breathe in each moment.
Amen.
It comes from Him.
It does.
And so one of the warnings given in Revelation chapter 14 is fear God in verse 7 says, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. And worship Him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of water." Again, wow. Worship God. Worship the one that created everything. And part of His commandments is to keep the Sabbath holy.
Yes.
And for some reason, most Christian churches teach that this is a burden, that this has been done away with.
Yeah, Jesus said He doesn't want to be a burden. He's giving us rest.
Yeah.
What about rest as a burden? Think about that. And what I love about the text you just took us to, Ed, we started looking at Genesis on the seventh day. We see God created the earth in 6 days. Exodus 20 points back to that. And then Revelation, the very end of the Bible, this highly prophetic book, points right back to the beginning.
Yes.
That God was the one that made all of these things.
You know, in the history of the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, God brought them out of Egypt. And they had a lot of difficulty because they did not follow God. They did not worship Him. Part of worship is obedience.
Yes.
A term obeisance is another word that's used in the Greek. And it means just simply being obedient because God is our creator, because the love He has shown us, we reflect that love back to Him. And obedience isn't a burden. Obeying God's commandments isn't a burden.
Right.
We find that in 1 John chapter 5. And so the problem that the children of Israel had, they weren't obedient. And God said, because of their disobedience, they will not enter into my rest.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's in Hebrews.
Yeah, Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. And when you investigate this, and I actually did a study with someone this last week about this, the issue was they weren't obedient to Him. They weren't walking in His laws and His judgments
and statutes. And statutes. And
they were worshiping other gods.
Right.
They were doing evil, horribly evil things, like sacrificing their children.
Sure. That's hard to imagine.
And God says, well, you're doing these things. You're not going to enter my rest. You're not going to have any rest for your enemies. You're not going to have good crops. You know, you're not going to avoid the plagues that happen on this earth because of your disobedience. And so to enter into God's rest and enter into Jesus' rest is, first of all, you have to believe who they are, who they say they are.
Right.
And then you need to follow them to be obedient. And I talked about this last week in Sabbath school. The word laws, people are so traumatized by the word law in the mm-hmm. Bible, but they don't understand the law of God is beautiful. Paul calls it's holy, righteous, good, it's spiritual.
Yes.
It can greatly benefit our lives as long as we would just follow it. And the reason the world is the way it is because no one wants to follow God's law.
Sure.
And so if you want to enter God's rest, enter into Christ's rest, start following Christ, start following God, Jehovah, Yahweh. And that means worshiping them. That means being obedient.
It does.
And they will give you the power to become obedient.
Absolutely.
It's not necessarily easy because the world is against and Satan is constantly attacking people, trying to get you to be disobedient.
And really, look, I have to say it, Ed, part of this being disobedient is most Christians recognize the commandments of God. Most Christians can probably cite most of them.
Uh-huh.
But there's one in particular that many of them forget, and it's this one about rest.
Yeah.
This very commandment that we looked at.
Now, Satan is good at making
counterfeits.
Yeah. And he has done that in this world.
Yes, he has. And in fact, it tells us very clearly that it was on the seventh day that God rested.
Yeah.
We know that Jesus went to the synagogue for worship on the seventh day. This is why we as a ministry meet on the seventh day Sabbath, which is Saturday, and we meet on that day. And unfortunately, many Christians believe that somehow that's been changed. But how could that be changed? There's something that you read here in Exodus chapter 20. There were three things that God did on that seventh day. He did three things with that day. Do you remember what they were? One was he blessed the Sabbath day.
Sanctified it.
He sanctified it.
Made it holy.
And he rested.
Rested,
those
yeah.
three things. God did that. He was the one. This isn't man doing this. God says, this is holy time. I'm setting this time aside. This is an example for you.
You know, I think the way the world is, people don't know how to rest.
It's so true.
You know, if you have a free moment, pull out your phone and, you know.
Yeah.
It's just no one can rest. They can't take the time to walk in God's creation, see the beauty, especially this time of year in spring in the Shenandoah Valley, and to hear the birds and to see what God has done to help you relax your mind, to lift your burdens.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, in Psalms 19.
To recover. Also.
I want to read verses 7 through, I don't know where I'm going to
start. Psalm 19.
Psalm 19.
Okay.
The law of Jehovah is perfect, converting the soul. Do you want to be converted?
Yes.
You know, look at God's law. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making the simple wise. If you want to know how to live your life in a good way, look at God's law. The precepts of Jehovah are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of Jehovah are pure, giving light to the eyes. It gives us understanding, gives us direction in our life. The fear of Jehovah in verse 9 is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Jehovah are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And your servant is warned by them. In keeping them, there is great reward.
Mm. There really is. It's amazing. This is a scripture song that we sing.
Yes, it's a song. Somebody wrote a tune to
it. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful tune. It really is. And as you were reading through it, I was recounting that song. This is exact words. I mean, that's exactly what it says. So
if you desire to enter into Christ's rest, if you desire to enter into God's rest, you know, be obedient. You know, worship Him. You know, and you'll find the benefits of doing that.
Ed, talking about the benefits of doing it, and you mentioned earlier that the nation of Israel, the Israelites were disobedient. There are so many things that go along with this. The things, God even gave them time for the land to rest.
Right.
So that their crops would be more abundant. And today, most farmers don't do that because the world is just so filled with business.
Got to get it done.
Yeah, we got to do this. We got to keep it going. And there are places, my wife and I took a trip and we were in another country and we were on a tour and they were taking us around, and we noticed that some of the fields were just flourishing with crops and others were overturned. They were plowed under. And I asked about that. I said, is this just a different crop? And they said, oh no, we let the land lie fallow for 1 year every 7 years, mm-hmm. so that it will. And I thought, that's exactly what God told people to do. Right. And so over there, everything was so abundant, the crops were doing well.
You know, in the Bible, God has laws about health.
Yes, he does.
And about what we eat. And if you abide by them, your life is much better in terms of your health.
Unfortunately, people think those laws have been wiped away,
but
they have not. We're still people. The digestive system of me, an American, is no different from the digestive system of a Jew.
So just think about, if you follow God's law about health, your body will have rest.
Absolutely.
Rest from disease.
Yes, that's a good way to put it, Ed. Yeah. I like that. So when Jesus says here, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. If I follow Jesus, Jesus didn't eat unclean meat.
Mm-mm.
He didn't eat anything that God would say you shouldn't eat. He rested on the Sabbath day. He did everything according to the commandments of God. So if I take Jesus' yoke and follow him, he says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. And he says, my yoke, which we consider to be a burden, my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Well, Jesus, in his life on this earth, he said, I will put my trust in thee, talking to his Father.
Mm-hmm.
I will do thy will. Oh,
Amen.
My God. You know?
Yes.
So Jesus rested in his Father when he was on this earth. He put his trust. He was obedient. He worshiped God.
Absolutely.
His Father.
Did everything the way his Father would have him do it.
Yeah.
And this was to demonstrate the love of God and to show us also how we need to live. This is what we need to do. We need to do exactly what Christ did. Follow him.
Today, in the world we live in, the world doesn't like these things.
No.
In fact, it purposely makes it difficult, trying to make it difficult, to follow God and his word.
Absolutely.
About how we live our life. And people are being persecuted for it, being taken to court and convicted for simply speaking the words on the page of the Bible.
I just saw something 2 days ago about Canada is making some laws now that is going to make certain passages of the Bible, you cannot read them publicly.
It's talking about homosexuality or gender.
Right.
That's what they're legislating against, using the Bible to simply speak the words on the page to warn people.
Yeah.
And that's, you're going to be persecuted, prosecuted. Who knows what kind of fines or jail time
sure.
you might have.
And I'm going to tell you, folks, you might think, well, that's in Canada for those of you who live here in the United States, but I believe that's coming here too.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time. And you'll find too that in this country of the United States, although we've always had so far freedom of religion, freedom of worship, and you're going to find that these laws are going to be put back in place. This is prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible has warned us about this. I guess I always thought it would probably happen in my lifetime, but for some reason in my mind, it didn't register that I would live to see this. And it's happening in North America.
Right.
It's happening.
Well, if you know anything about Bible prophecy in Revelation chapter 13, second half of the chapter talks about the lamb-like beast, mm-hmm. two horns,
yes.
well, speaking like a dragon. That's happening right now.
Absolutely. And we've done some lectures on these things, yeah. and you can find them on the website. Also, you know, giving us rest. Sometimes when you hear these things, if you are a Christian and you're listening to this program and you heard what Ed said about the things that are happening, you're in Canada and that they will come here, this is what Christ gives us rest from. I don't worry about that. My mind is at ease. I'm at peace because I know these things are going to happen. I can be like the three Hebrews in the Old Testament who they might have been a little afraid when they went into the fiery furnace. It doesn't tell us,
right.
But they were confident in the God that they served. This is another way that Jesus gives us rest. We can have confidence in his God and our God.
You know, Christ says, don't be afraid when they bring you before kings and rulers and governors, because your Father in heaven will give you the words you are to say.
Amen. And so we have to trust in that. And again, this is a form of rest. It really is, mm-hmm. because I'm not worked up about it. Years ago, I always thought, before I really walked with Christ, I always thought, would I be able to hold up in those times? What would I do? What am I? And I was worried about it. Today, I don't worry about it. If it happens, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the disciples. Look at all of the things. If you read these Bible accounts, look at the miracles that happened back then. And Jesus, right before we turned the mics on, Ed, you said that Jesus said that we will do greater things than
right.
he did. You shared that text with
because
me.
Because he's going to his Father in heaven, talking about the shedding abroad of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. So we're living in that time period now.
And you'll see why in the next chapter, Matthew 12,
okay.
that Jesus cast out demons by the Spirit of God.
Yes, he did.
That's how he performed. That's how these miracles were performed through him by God, his Father.
Yes. And recognizing that Jesus tells us that we would be able to do these very things. We're living in that time period today.
Yeah.
And we don't think about that. We really don't. And maybe it's because I've never been put in a position where have I been in situations where I've had to pray and say, Father, get me through this.
Yes.
I have. And he's got me through it. So I've seen miracles in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing about giving us rest, there are many facets to it, aren't there?
Yes.
There are many aspects of this. Any other thoughts there in those verses, Ed? Verses 25 through 30 of Matthew chapter 11.
I think these things are easy to talk about, but it really takes faith and trust. You have to step out in faith.
Yes.
Even where it may not seem logical or according to the world.
Yeah.
You know?
And look, let me say this, because I come from a background where the church says you have to follow us,
yeah.
whether it seems logical or not.
Right.
We're not saying that. We're yeah. saying follow Jesus.
Yes.
Follow God's word. Don't follow men. If Jesus makes you a promise, you can believe that promise. You just have to accept it. And so follow Christ wherever he goes. That's what we want to
do. All right, let's go to Matthew 12, and let's read verses 1 through 8.
Sure.
This is the modern King James. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath day. And his disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck the heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw, they said to him, Behold, your disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. But he said to them, Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him, how he entered into the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat? Nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath day the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say to you that one greater than the temple is in this place. But if you have known what this is, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned those who are not guilty. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.
Hmm.
So okay. What day is the Lord's day?
Well, it says the Sabbath day.
Yeah.
So it's funny because I grew up believing that the Lord's day was sometime in the future.
Yeah.
And it's terrible that I was so misled. And this is funny to me too, because I remember our brother Roy, who passed away last year, he said, how could Jesus be Lord of something that he's done away with? he was asking that facetiously. He meant that. In other words, how can he be Lord of the Sabbath and do away with the Sabbath?
Well, yeah, he didn't do away with the Sabbath, but that's what people claim.
Right, right. Yeah. That was his point.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting that he would say that. So, go ahead.
This is something that we need to understand as we're going to continue to read about the Sabbath here with this miracle that Jesus did, that was performed. And you know, people tend to follow men and not God and his word. And so the Jews at this time had come up with every little detail about things you can and can't do. Like, you're only allowed to travel only so far on the Sabbath
right.
day.
Yeah, they called it a Sabbath day's journey.
Yeah. And you weren't allowed to carry any burden on the Sabbath day.
Yeah.
Which was carry anything, pretty much.
So how could I come to church if I can't carry my Bible?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So they had all kinds of these laws, and one of these laws had to do with what the disciples did. They were hungry, and they plucked the heads of grain to eat it. And plucking the heads of grain, apparently, is against the law of the Jews on the Sabbath day.
Well, they considered it harvesting. They looked at it as, well, they're harvesting. No, I believe it was corn. They would just pick the corn, and they would just eat it as they were walking along. It wasn't like they were gathering bushels of corn.
Right. And so Jesus gave them some examples of what seemed to be against the law of God, but out of necessity were performed, and those that performed them were not guilty. David eating the showbread that was found in the temple, which is only for the priest to eat. Or that the priest, because of the nature of the function, their duties as a priest, worked on the Sabbath day.
Right.
You know, like a preacher works on the Sabbath day.
That's really...
He's doing his job, preaching.
That's one of our busiest days as ministers of God's Word. You teach Sabbath school almost every Sabbath. I speak probably 50 or 60% of the time, and it's a day where, you know, where we stream it live, so there's preparation that goes into that, and we have to make sure. So it is a busy day. God allows for that. There were people in the temple that did certain duties,
right?
And if we're coming together to worship, we have to make sure that those things happen.
Well, let's talk about today. If there's a house fire, a fireman needs to go to the...
Sure.
Put the fire out.
Yeah. What if you get sick? What if you slip and fall and twist your ankle or break your arm? Yeah.
Broken whatever.
Right. Yeah. So there are extenuating circumstances. God allows for those things. All of these things are in his law of how to deal with those things.
Right.
And so the Pharisees here, being quote-unquote lawyers, they're accusing Jesus' disciples of breaking those laws. But like you said, the Pharisees had a way of adding additional burdens to what the law just stated. They would make it a burden.
I would say that overall, they were trying to gain their own righteousness by keeping these little laws. They were trying to obtain some self-righteousness.
Yes.
And we know that because of the nature of the human race, that there is no righteousness in it. We only get our righteousness from God and his son, Jesus Christ. And so you're not saved by keeping God's law.
No.
But those that are saved will be keeping God's law.
That's a good way to put it, yes. If you are saved, then God's law is in your heart.
It will be important to you.
Yes.
You want to worship God. You want to be obedient to him.
Sure.
You understand that his way of doing things is the best, even on this earth that we live on now and all its evil and sin.
That's right. And so when we look at this chapter 12 where you read, where the Pharisees in verse 2, the Pharisees saw them plucking those heads of grain, it says, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath. And then Jesus gave them an illustration. Look, the very one that's your forefather did this very same thing.
Right.
So were they breaking the law? No,
right.
They weren't breaking the law. There are certain circumstances, like you said, whether it's a hospital or a fire department or something like that.
So let's continue reading in Matthew 12. Can you read verses 9 through 14? Same
sure.
day. Look at what Jesus does.
Okay. It says, now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him? And then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him.
They were trying to set Jesus up to find a reason to put him to death.
Sure.
And he says, you know, it's lawful to do well on the Sabbath. If someone's in a car accident, you know, takes paramedics, firemen, ambulance crew, going to the hospital, ER, the doctors, the nurses, and technicians, the house cleaner, whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
That happened right in front of the Prophecies of Hope Church. Remember that?
Yeah.
On a Sabbath, there was a gentleman who was coming down the road, and he passed out, and he drove up the bank across the street, and we had to go outside. We stopped everything we were doing, and we went outside and helped him.
Yeah.
And this is what we are called to do. Anybody is called to do that anytime someone's in need, whether it's the Sabbath day or any other day. So here, Jesus sees this man with a withered hand in the synagogue, and he just says, stretch out your hand. Now, I wonder, how much work was that for Jesus? Stretch out your hand.
Yeah.
He said the words, mm-hmm. and it was done. God gave him that ability. So when we look at this, some people will say, and this is where we really need to be cautious, because we might say, well, you know, I really didn't have time to mow my grass this past week, so I guess it's kind of an emergency. It's tall, and I don't want the neighbors to complain. Well, see, that could wait till the next day.
You know, growing up as a Sabbath keeper, the advice was always given, if you can do it on another day, then do it on another day.
Okay, that makes sense.
You know, and just because you didn't take the time to do it or didn't arrange your schedule the way you could have it done isn't a reasonable excuse. So, you know, if there's an emergency.
Right.
Like there's a health issue or, you know, whatever it may be, you know, then, yeah, go ahead and do what you need to do to get it taken care of.
So I grew up never keeping the Sabbath
mm-hmm.
until I was in my 40s. That's when I learned about it, and I actually learned about it in my 30s, but it took me a while because I was stubborn. And so this question comes up often, especially people from the background that I grew up in, and what's it okay to do? You know, what do I do if this happens or if that happens? And I said, well, let me just use this illustration. If you called me and you said, my car has a flat tire and I really need to go to church today, I might say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll come and pick you up.
Right.
I'm going to take you to church and then we'll fix your flat after church.
Yeah.
But if you say to me, I have no way and I don't have a way to get you there, and you say, I have no way and my kid just broke his arm and my car's got a flat, I'm going to come and I'm going to fix your flat. We're going to get your car on the road so that you can take your kid to the hospital.
Sure.
You see, there's a difference. There's a difference. If I can keep someone, if I don't have to induce someone to work on that day, then don't do it.
You know, going out to eat.
Yeah, right. That's another
one. Why would I make somebody else work on the Sabbath day when I don't need to?
Well, the very commandment, Ed, that you read, I'm going to read it again because this is so important that people know and understand this. It says in verse 10, it says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Jehovah your God. In it you shall do no work. But it goes on, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who was within your gates. So this means that I have a business. Well, if it's in my control to either open or close that business on the Sabbath, I close it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we do. I don't want to induce any of those men to come to work that day. And I tell them, the shop is off limits on those days. From before sundown on Friday till after sundown on Saturday, nobody goes to the shop. But before or after that, you can do whatever you like.
Yeah.
And really, the blessings that I have received from doing those things, this is part of the rest for our souls. I was always worried about, what about, that's our busiest day, what about the money? Well, Jesus has given me that rest. I don't worry about the money anymore.
You know, it's interesting that in a world people complain about being so busy, yet they don't want to rest on the Sabbath day, seventh day.
So true.
Saturday.
They're so busy, but they can't take a day off.
Yeah.
It's funny because they can take any other day and they're comfortable with it. The devil has manipulated the world to where Saturday is the day that most of your retailers do most of their business. Most of your yard sales, at least in the United States, yard sales, auctions, all of the things that people like to do are done on Saturday, on the Sabbath day. And so this is, it really comes down to, do we want to serve God or serve ourselves?
Sure. Do you want to give up your life so that you can save it?
That's it.
Or you want to live your life here and then lose it?
These things are temporary.
Yeah.
These things are temporary. And I can't state it enough. We only have about a minute left, Ed, but I think that people need to understand that the Ten Commandments, they're not suggestions. They're commandments.
Yeah.
They're things that God put in place for our benefit. Yes. Did you have a thought before we close?
They're a hedge of protection around you to live life in this world.
They really are. They really are. And so consider these things, and we'll talk more in the coming weeks about this healing on the Sabbath. What was it lawful to do? And we'll work our way through chapter 12. I think there's a lot more to say about these things.
Yes, there is.
And did you have any closing comments about any of these things that we've talked about?
People don't often see it, but there's great benefits in following God and His Son.
Amen.
It requires change, oftentimes a lot of change, in our hearts and our minds and the things we do, but you'll benefit from it.
Amen. Amen. So friends, we're going to close with a word of prayer before we sign off. So if you'd bow your heads with us. Father in heaven, we're just so grateful for your word, the Bible, and just reading these texts about Jesus, that we can take his yoke upon us, that he will give us rest, Father. And we're just so grateful for these things. And I just ask that those who are listening will consider Jesus' words, that they'll want to follow these words, that they'll want to recognize that obedience to you is really, it's beneficial for all of us. It means our eternity, just simply following Jesus Christ and accepting what he has done for us and giving his life. So, Father, thank you for these blessings. Thank you for this time together. And we just ask that you will keep us protected and safe until we come together again. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ed, thank you so much for leading the study. And friends, we hope you'll tune in here with us next week, next Sunday, 7 p.m., right here on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.